there exists a subgroup, the nice guy. A dying breed of chivalrous, romantic, domesticated gentlemen whose qualities are desired by the opposite sex, allegedly. However, they are dismissed and confined in such concepts as the bestie, work husband, and the dreaded friend zone. Jason and Manny are the last of the nice guys.
Well, hello there. I know it's been a long time. I can't tell you how long. I don't have the pro zoop anymore, so I can't explain to you why. So we're going to keep moving on. But we're back for another special. And stuff and stuff happens and things happen and people happen, people change and blah, 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 blah. But Manny's here. I'm here, Jason, and Joe's in the wind. But we do have an update about Joe. We'll talk about another time. So, with that being said, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another special episode, non-100 episode of Last of the Nice Guys podcast. I'm Jason, that is Manny. Manny, you want to say a few words before we get into today's topic? I'm not sure.
I'm alive.
Fantastic, and so am I. And we are living our best lives. Yes, guys, some new things have come up in both our lives, you know, made things more difficult. Manny has his own, you know, stuff. And of course, I decided to double down, as she said, on my master's degree so I can finish by November. So I'm taking two courses back to back. Well, two courses simultaneously back to back for the next 30 weeks. So it's been killer trying to figure out how to do assignments for my master's degree programs, which is four assignments every week, plus editing, plus my vlog, plus doing this. So of course, something was going to fall apart. But if you guys haven't been following, today's episode is going to be about the ABBA and his ex drama, ex baby mama, baby mama drama, ABBA's drama. And it's funny because I sympathize with this man because not only does his situation laughably parallel how mine was back when I was like my 19 and 20s, his reaction laughably parallels how I reacted back when I was 19 and 20. You know, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, he's too old to be reacting like that. But what I'm saying is it vindicates me knowing that even a man in his late 30s can still go through hell with an inconsistent, borderline psychotic woman. When it comes to pregnancy, especially again early on in a relationship, these guys weren't dating very long. Parallel to my situation, or my past situation, you know, things are, you know, whatever now, but back then. So, Manny, how much, if anything, do you know about you know ABBA?
Because we follow them and listen to their stuff.
So I'm surprised.
I know very little from what you've been posting, but that's it.
Right, so you don't know any. That's a shame because this is the hot thing now. And so this episode and the next one are going to follow C tier, B tier celebrities, people who are well known but are not like crazy well known. So this episode is going to be about ABBA's drama. All right, so I'm going to give you a quick rundown, Manny. Any of you guys know this? You can skip it if you don't. I'm going to do it from osmosis, from my memory. So from my understanding,
great movie.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. ABBA met, I forget her name, this girl. And it's funny because she is a Filipino woman. You know, come on.
Lady boy, I get it.
It's not a lady. She's Filipina. And everybody knows that I've been to the Philippines three times. So it's really, really funny. Like the first things, my brother had sent this video to me. And he said, see, you better be careful with those Filipinas. Because he knows I've been to the Philippines three times. Yes, at this point now, I think I haven't had a podcast since before my third trip. So I've been there three times now in 2 years. And so this is how I got put onto this. Basically, he met her in San Francisco. ABBA lives in Canada. And, you know, they hit it off. They get together. It's only a few months. You know, he notices a few red flags, you know, that she tends to be overly dramatic. She tends to tell stories. She tends to play the victim role. You know, and again, he makes it very clear he's not perfect. But I'm going to focus on his gripes because that's what we do with the Last of Nice Guys. You know, women always get to air their crap out. And she's really airing his crap out. Which is what this. Anyway, I'm really like, I'm jazzed up by this. So It's only a few months. I think they only dated for like 3 or 4 months. It was literally less than 6 months, and they have a pregnancy, and there's a pregnancy situation. And Abba, what do you think his response was? I'd love to know what you thought his response was.
That is
Nope.
really.
Nope. That was not his response.
Oh.
What is a typical man's response? You expect it. Unwanted pregnancy comes out of nowhere. You're just basically dating. You expect?
To be cheated on. Yeah, to be cheated on.
Oh God, no. You expect the man to say, "Hey, listen, I'm not ready for this. Have the abortion. I don't want you to have this baby." That was not the case. He actually wanted her to have the baby. She was the one that was back and forth and back and forth about it. She didn't. She kind of didn't want it. Well, she wanted to have an abortion. Kind of didn't want it. Kind of want to have an abortion. He doesn't agree with that. He's like, listen, I want to have this baby. I want to not necessarily. I don't know if it's because he like loved her or anything, but because that's it. It's his responsibility. That's what he believes. And so, as an atypical man, especially a black man, he actually was a proponent of keeping the baby.
Well,
She was on.
I was thinking of cheating because he lives in Canada and she's in
Well,
California,
I
so.
was referencing like the typical story. Whenever a woman gets
Oh yeah.
pregnant and it's unimportant and it's on.
I'm not ready. Yeah, get rid of
I'm not
me.
ready. Get rid of the baby. I don't want to be around. You're gonna be a single mom. That song. Now you're a single mom. Now, that was not gonna be the case here. And
Ah,
we're not
indeed.
just taking his word for it. He actually played video and audio of him telling her this. That look, I don't agree with you having an abortion. If you want to have the abortion, I will support it. He was very, I will support it. He even flew to California on one of the times she did schedule an abortion and just didn't go through with it. So imagine, new relationship. There's a bit of, there was some red flags in the beginning. You have a pregnancy and you're dealing with a woman who, and rightfully so, you're allowed to, have mixed signals, but to string a man along, I don't know. It's back and forth. I'm going to have the abortion. I'm not sure about the baby. I'm going to have the abortion. I'm not sure about the baby. According to him, she never ever said she wanted to keep the baby, just that she wasn't sure about it, or I want to have the abortion. So it was either middle ground or abortion. And you have to imagine a man like him saying, I do want the baby. I do want to make this work. The emotional toll. And again, we cannot ignore the suffrage of a man during this situation. I get it. Her body, her choice. But when you are going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and all he's saying is, listen, can you pick a lane? Let's do this and let's move forward. And like one of the times he flew down to attend one, her abortion, because he's like, listen, I want to be there. I should be there. I should take accountability. Again, atypical of a man, in my opinion. She made it very clear. I didn't want you to be here. I didn't want you to come for this, And he's like, but I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here for this.
But
Well,
they were dating, right? Like,
they
so
were dating.
I don't understand, like, why she's all against him being there in the first place.
I would like to give it a benefit of the doubt. I'd like to hope that she knew how it would affect him. She knew it would hurt him. And so I don't want you to be there. So you wouldn't, you're going to walk with me and I'm pregnant with your child. You're going to walk me to the clinic. And when you walk me out, I'm no longer with your child. I've effectively killed your child, our child, kind of a thing, effectively, whatever it is, whatever stage. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt for that. Some people said that the reason why she didn't want him to be there is that she was never really pregnant at all. But Abba says he didn't explain how he knows, but he says he knows for sure that she was pregnant. So he says he knows for sure that she was pregnant. So he's made it very clear it wasn't that. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that maybe she had a heart and said, I don't want to see your face die like that, because his soul, it would crush him. You can even see it in some of the videos when he was talking about it, that you could see in his face that he was struggling with the idea of that he was going to be a father and that it was taken from him. Again, her body, her choice, respect it. But you have to understand there are men out there this affects as well. You know what I'm saying? You're sticking away. And can you believe that what she said was, don't worry, we'll have other kids. She said that to him. She said, don't worry, we'll have other babies. And he's like, you don't got to tell me that. I don't want to hear that. That doesn't make me feel any better about the situation. That's how tone deaf this woman seemed to be in this situation.
Nah, it just makes you think of how many more abortions she's had previous to this, but Her body, her choice.
Exactly. No, nothing against it, you know. And he did, before I get to the drama itself, he did take L's. He said, "Listen, I took L's." He's like, "I should never have slept with her raw. I should have noticed the red flags and gotten out of there sooner. I should have never coddled her and played the game back and forth with this baby mama drama, pregnant not pregnant thing." He did admit that, you know. In his defense, he was told by a doctor that his sperm count was so low that he couldn't have kids. In his defense, so
I mean,
still.
all you really need is one, so that was
All
enough.
you need is one. We got it. So yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But he was effectively told by his doctor that, look, you can't have kids. Your sperm count is so shot that you can't have kids. Don't expect it. But that wasn't an excuse. And he made it very clear that wasn't an excuse. So that's the primer of the situation. The drama began because there was an incident when she visited him in Canada, and they got into an argument about, believe it or not, which countries have the most attractive people, right? And so you had this kind of, it's just like a conversation, like, you know, I think, you know, Dominican women are really pretty, but Brazilian men are really hot. And he engaged in the conversation. I don't remember who brought it up. And he just said, well, yeah, I think women from this location is very attractive. Apparently she got very upset about it and she left the apartment. But she didn't just leave the apartment. She packed all her bags and left the apartment. So when he came out,
Wow, so she
yeah, yes.
backed up.
So, and she was still pregnant. She was pregnant because they're still trying to work it out. So he comes out of his room or wherever he went, because he kind of, the way he handles it is when she gets upset, he disengages and he gives her space and he walks away. You know what I'm trying to say? Which is a red flag for me now, is that if I have to disengage from you because we can't, whatever, I shouldn't even be in that relationship. And he made it very clear. He knows he should have walked away, but apparently she's super hot and the sex was amazing. So I'm telling you, parallel to me. So, to my situation when I was 19, I'm 20, I'm 21, maybe 22. But so he comes out, he gets upset because he realizes she, not only is she gone, she packed her bags and left. So he's trying to find her, trying to look her up and whatever, whatever. Apparently, the story is she comes back to his apartment, and she only comes back to his apartment because her phone won't work in Canada or something's wrong with it. And so she can't call her own hotel or her own Uber. So she came back. And she admitted that to him. And he said, you've got to listen to this episode. He said, so you packed your bags. Something I told you, don't do this kind of stuff. You packed your bags, you just left. And the only reason why you're back in my house is because you can't get a signal. He's like, nah, man, you can go. You can get out of here. He said, and she said, no, she said, yeah, I left because I don't feel safe. He said, you don't feel safe in my house? And you and now you want to come back and stay here? He's like, he said, and I quote you, oh hell no. You gotta go. He made it very clear. He said, listen, gentlemen, the minute a woman says to you she doesn't feel safe in your presence, you gotta get her the F out of there. Get her out of there. And I respected that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I did this one time too. He's throwing her out, right? And mind you, she tells the story very more dramatically. And I'm only siding with Abba's story because he actually recorded it. He recorded it. He forgot he did, but he recorded the whole situation. And he's telling her, oh, hell no, you gotta go. I'm gonna do you a solid. I'm gonna order you the Uber. I'm gonna order you a hotel and go ahead. He orders the Uber, he orders a hotel. She doesn't want it. She leaves the house again. He's saying, why would you leave? I just ordered you an Uber, stay here. He walks her downstairs. And she just dashes off into the Canadian winter night, right? Just leaves. And he's texting her and he shows the receipts. Where are you? What are you doing? You know, the Uber, here's your hotel information. What are you doing? She's gaslighting him, saying, I'm not safe. My phone's not working. My phone's gonna die. I can't find anything. This is your fault. You knew this was gonna happen. And he's like, bro, come back. I will order you the Uber. I already have the hotel for you. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's pretty much the gist of that story. She goes online and says he yelled at her, he threatened her, he kicked her out pregnant into the cold. He didn't care how she was gonna feel, and what was gonna happen to her. That's how she tells the story. He plays the audio on. He plays exactly.
Of
He
course.
plays the audio, and technically she didn't lie, but she edited the truth again, paralleling my story, right? And here's the funny thing, because I used to say this a lot about my kid's mom, because I used to be chastised and belittled and shamed for my behavior with her, right? And what I used to say is, yes, Jason called you, let's say, the scum of the earth. Yeah, called you the scum of the earth. You know, nobody ever asked, well, Jason's a why? Decent guy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked why. Nobody ever asked, and Abba said the same thing. Abba said, well, even if her story was factual and accurate, nobody asked why it happened. How did you provoke this? Because I'm not saying it's all women do it, but women tend to provoke men. You guys.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I saw this video earlier today, actually. It is before I even spoke to you about recording this episode, which is hilarious. Guy, girl, you know, one of them stupid family courtrooms or whatever. And the girl's telling the judge, you know, oh, you know, he was yelling at me. He was cursing at me. He called me a bitch. Do you call your wife a bitch? How do you do that? Someone that you love, someone that, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They're supposed to be all whatever in your life and this and that. You call them a bitch and other names to their face. And then she continues the story and she says, well, you know, now she's playing him. She's like, well, you've called me names and you said, you know, your share of dirty words and bad words too. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, but those words don't trigger you.
Yep.
Yep. So it's okay for her to be like, you're a dick, you're a piece of shit, you're
yeah.
low in life or mm-hmm. low life or whatever. It's okay for her to say it.
Yeah.
But when he says it back, it's like, oh, okay. No.
It's just like, and again, we don't condone hitting women, but it's just like a woman smacking and striking a man, and a man strikes her back. Now
everybody's like, oh my
God. Everyone's like, oh my God, how dare you? But she hit me first. And most times, it's several times before I reacted. Mm-hmm. So, and it comes back to what we've always said about on this podcast is that most women lack accountability. They lack accountability. And accountability basically is taking responsibility for your actions, even if the response is equal or amicable. Huh?
And words.
Actions and words. Actions and words. And But most of you don't. You don't. You explain it away. And it's the craziest thing that you know, and don't get me wrong, some men, but I would say it's proportionally more women than men lack accountability, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? But so that's that situation. In the end, whatever happened, happened. Now, why is this a big thing on the internet? Well, because she went on, okay. Sorry, guys, because it's all in my head and I wasn't prepared to record this. I wasn't even ready to record anything. So man, he's like, hey, let's record. I'm like, yeah. So basically, the one thing Abba had basically asked her to do is, look, if we're going to keep this kid, all I ask is that if you don't want me, tell me now. But don't let's have this kid and tell me you don't want me and then cut me out of the pregnancy. Like, don't do that. Like, please don't do that. It's the one thing he had asked. And so After a few more nonsenses, I forget the inciting incident. He told her, you know what? Look, no. She was flip-flopping back and forth. And now officially she's like, you know what? I'm going to keep the baby, but I don't want you involved. And this is the inciting incident that she recorded him and he flipped out on her, like flipped out kind of a thing. I didn't hear the recording, but it sounded bad enough. And she put that bad boy on the internet. To make Abba look bad. And he makes it very clear. She recorded me at my lowest. That was my lowest of low. After all this roller coaster rides, after all this nonsense, and to do the one thing I asked you not to do, don't have this baby and then cut me out and don't do any of that stuff to me. Just don't do that to me.
Yeah, because it's crazy that he actually wants to be involved. It's not like
that's what I'm saying.
It's not like he's trying to walk away and be like, all right, fuck you, bitch. I don't want nothing to do with you.
And guess what?
And she's playing it out there like he yelled at me. Look what he said. Yeah. Look what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This
is the man. Of course, I'd do this. I'd be the same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're provoked, man. Men have emotions too. I'm sorry. We may have to have it. You know, we may have to be the epitome of still waters run deep. But when you strike the nerve, especially when you hit something that is at the core of who you are and what you've asked. And mind you, she's asked from his telling and from some of her interviews, she's asked many things of him. I think this is really like the only real like hard stop. He said, listen, we're adults. Let's do it the right way. Just don't be, you know, let's work it out. And you know what I'm finding funny is that, do you know how many women out there would kill for a man to be as upfront and honest and straightforward as Abba?
100%. You know how many kids? How many,
yes.
Forget the women. You know how many kids?
Yeah, exactly. You
want somebody like that?
Please. And I say this because I used to say the same thing. I said this on the podcast many times. I said, my kid's mom can complain about anything she wants about me in the past. Anything she wants. When it came to the baby daddies, she could have gotten way, 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 way worse than me. You know what I'm trying to say? Didn't appreciate it. To this day, never appreciated it. You know what I'm saying? Not that I need her appreciation. I don't even care. But what I am saying, though, is that I have been in the presence of single mothers who are like, hot damn, if my baby daddy was a fraction of the man or the father that you not only purport to be, but it's proven to be, you know, it's like, I don't understand your kid's mom. And I was just like, listen, I don't understand her either. I don't need to understand her. And I don't need her praise. But you know, I didn't need her scorn either. So I tell you, when I say that, listening to Abba's story, I even sent it to my boys. I said, guys, if you want to know what it was like for me, not to like vilify their mom, but I said, if you ever want an idea of what I went through, watch this video and listen to Abba tell the story and the struggles he went through. Mind you, he's a 38-year-old man or something like that, late 30s. Project that on me, 19, 20, 21, with no family around, right, to assist because they're all 14, 1700 miles away in New York. Because that's literally what I went through. Even the back and forth about the abortions was exactly what I went through. Difference, you know what I'm saying? Difference was I really did want her to have an abortion. I'm sorry. I was scared as shit. All right. So that's one thing Abba has over me. I was scared as shit. For the first one, the second pregnancy, I was like, eh, my life is over. It is what it is. And still, she gave me the back and forth, you know? So understand, like this is it. And yes, I did go to the clinic as well. And yes, I watched her go and scare the doctor away to leave, make us leave. That's what I'm talking about. So, but so yeah, she puts that on the internet. But before that, she starts having her and her friends start harassing. Oh my God, we only have 10 minutes left. We have to do a part two.
Jesus.
Her friends
I
start
think you can fix it in post.
exactly right. Her friends start harassing him, like sending him messages. Sending him things. She's calling him because after this, he's like, "I'm done. I'm over it. I'm not doing this anymore." She starts harassing him, calling him, and she shows the receipts, different numbers, blocking, different. He's like, "I don't even know how she creates brand new numbers like that."
Think I
Different
have heard
numbers,
that.
yes. And so she goes further. She starts. Her and her friends start contacting people like Fresh and Fit. Contacting Preach. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And you want to know what one of the messages said? I'm reaching out to you because I'm trying to understand from your perspective, why would Abba force my friend to have an abortion? Because in the end, she ended up having the abortion, right? Because in the end, he told her, he said, you know what? Honestly, I'm tired of this nonsense. He's like, I don't even want to be involved with this kid with you. You might as well just get rid of it. That's what he said. He's like, you know, just get rid of it because I don't want to do this with you. I cannot do this with you anymore. And so she eventually did. That was the one and only time that he said, you know what, go have the abortion. Mind you, her idea initially, and he just co-signed on it because of the stress of what was going on, the nonsense. He's just like, he's
Wasn't
like, you know,
worth it, yeah,
it wasn't
facts.
worth cohabitating. He even said it. He said, you saw what I was dealing with as an ex or as like a boyfriend. He said, could you imagine co-parenting with this person? And I said, you know what I said? When he said that, you know what I said to the screen? Yes. Because I co-parented with arguably somebody that was a narcissist and a psycho, in my opinion. In my opinion. That you know, or at least if not psycho, at least very, very inconsistent, very malicious, very hyper-emotional, and flip-floppy, wishy-washy, just like this woman purports to be, or it is purported that she is. So yeah, I screamed at my phone saying, yes, I know exactly what it's like. I had 20 years of that shit. So I remember pausing and saying, Abba, you dodged a bullet, bro. You did. You dodged a bullet. I mean, he felt bad. You know, he was hurt, but he dodged a bullet. So yeah, she starts reaching out. She starts doing interviews with other people, other content creators that you know, pretty much they may not have beef with ABBA, but you know, ABBA and Preach, they critique other
They
people.
critique other people, and other people are, I'm sure, will jump at the chance to critique back or say something
Exactly, to
negative.
clap
Of
back.
course,
And so she
of
went to them and
course.
all that crap. She was pretty much blackmailing him. And he has the messages where she's like, listen, I'm going to release all these videos and all these audios that I recorded of you yelling and crap like that if you don't like listen to me or contact me or speak to me or let's figure out co-parenting. She was blackmailing and threatening him. Well, he said, go ahead, release it. He said, release that shit. He's like, I understand the context of what I did and what I said, and release it, whatever. And of course she did, and she did interviews, and it's caused a whole big uproar on the internet. First, it was all against ABBA because, and I always, and he said the same thing that I always say. My phrase was, the first person who cries, which is typically women, tend to be the victims always. He said, in his rendition, as a pretty girl crying, that's why everybody believed her. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those cases. And I said the exact same thing. I said, you cry, you complain. And I used to be, and I still kind of am, a guy where I don't gotta explain myself to nobody. I know why I do what I do. I am fundamentally a good person. You know, fundamentally. Do I have my bad days? Absolutely, everybody does. But fundamentally, at the core, I'm a good person. I don't need to sit there and defend why I might have come out of pocket. Because what you should know is that because Jason is a fundamentally good person, if he came out of pocket, somebody provoked it. Somebody really wanted it. And that's how he was at first. But he began to hurt the brand and whatever, whatever. So he came out with two response videos to like two or three of her allegations. And so her allegations are that he was not supportive. He forced her to have an abortion. He threw her out in the cold. You know, he was very abrasive and all that other crap. That's pretty much what she's putting out there. And Ab was just like, yo, I don't want to talk about this. And I never wanted to be this kind of guy, but I have to respond. And I'm going to put her shit out there too. So you want to start this, then we're going to do this right. So that's pretty much the whole thing. Wow, that was a long recap and I didn't even get into all of it. I bring it up because, like I said, I wouldn't say it triggered me, but it definitely was like, my God, like that's how it began with me and kind of a thing. Except there was no internet. It was, you know, the nonsense she was telling her family, not telling my family. I'm sitting here like, bro, like none of this is true, at least not to that effect. And
the unfortunate part of it is it's the same scenario when you actually have a decent and good guy.
Yeah.
Dealing with somebody of today's societal women, and that's the problem. Because,
but it's not just today, because it happened back then too. It's just that now there's a platform to see it more and more. But carry on.
But I'm just saying, but today's generation of women, this is what you're going to constantly run into, and that's the sad part of it. Because, you know, playing victim and getting clout is more important than actually living your life properly. It doesn't even matter. It's the quick money. It's the quick fix. It's the quick way to jumpstart and then be the first person to be like, oh, I don't need a man in my life. I make my own money.
You're right.
And then
but then be mad because he leaves. You know, then be mad because he's not interested in anymore. And that's what it was. She told him, you know, I don't want you involved. I'm gonna have the baby myself. He's like, fine, do whatever you want to do. I don't even want to be involved. And now all of a sudden it's a problem. Why? Because clearly she was trying to get a reaction from her. And ABBA, from what it seems like, he's not that explosive kind of guy. You really have to push him. And that's how I feel about myself too. I'm not an explosive guy. You really have to want it. And if you get it, you're gonna get it. And usually,
and that's the same thing for me. A lot of people in my life, if they know me,
yep.
The last time you've ever seen me angry, the answer will probably be never. And if you did see it once, and you've got a story, there's a giant story behind it. And I was put there, and I just reacted in that situation. But for me to come out and just normally be angry, nah, it doesn't happen.
That's what I used to say. I used to say, Jason never wakes up looking to call somebody a piece of shit. Jason never wakes up looking for a fight. I never do. I get up. All right, let's go. Let's do what we got to do. Never, never, never. But then when the stories are told, it sounds like, yeah, he just got up, looked at me in my face and said, go fuck off. And I'm just like, that's not what happened. You missed the entire, you know, it's called a backstory or a prologue. People, you know, you don't tell the prologue. Like what happened? I hate to say the phrase, what did you do? But what did you do? You know, right. What did you do? That doesn't vindicate the behavior. It doesn't vindicate Abba's behavior. It doesn't vindicate my past behavior. But what it does do is it gives context. And context is key to understanding. You know what I'm trying to say? And then it takes off a lot of the shame from the aggressor and says, listen, aggressee, you, what did you do? What did you do to provoke this? Because this is not the person that I know. This is not the Abba that we see and have an idea of. So she had to have said or done something. It could have been honest and innocent, but it could have been provocative on purpose. In her case, super provocative. But I mean, I bring this up only again, like I said, because it really, really gave me some PTSD about what I went through, especially the back and forth about having a kid, not having a kid. I don't want to have a kid. I do want to get the difference once again. I'm like, very clear. I actually didn't want to have the kid, who eventually becomes, my most amazing oldest. But, and I'm, you know, I, in hindsight, absolutely. It was the right thing to do in hindsight, 20 years later. But in the sense of where I was, unlike with Ab and them, because they're grown ass adults, they can figure it out. But understand, I was 19, and I'm like, I don't even have a degree. And I want to be very clear. I never ended up getting my degree until 20 years later. That is how stifling and stagnant my life became. Partially because of my fear, partially because of the nonsense that she provided, and partially because I had to figure out how to be a parent, and that ended up eating up and encompassing my entire existence, just living to try and raise these kids. So it's not a joke then. It's not a coincidence that now I've lived up to my potential only after both my sons have become adults. Ever since my sons became adults in the last 3 years, okay, I haven't been a daddy in 3 years. I have earned 2 degrees. I'm about to earn my third degree. I've been traveling. I'm vlogging. I'm doing all these things. I lost a lot of weight. Like my life entirely transformed. As if the idea of fatherhood somehow subconsciously held me down, all this time. And I can see that. I don't think it's a, I'm not knocking it. I did an amazing job. I don't know how you feel about this, but did you go through anything similar like this with your son or your daughters? Back to what you were saying.
After being,
After
okay,
being what?
after being viciously cut off,
Ruthlessly, like it was so funny. It was like Manny's ready to like spill his guts, and it said, "Nope."
I was ready to cry my heart out. You know, like I don't even feel like doing that anymore. Like the moment's gone.
Thank God. See, I'm gonna keep this.
so.
But let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Keeping this the free Zoom with a 40-minute time limit, it kind of keeps us like focused. It really kind of does.
Yeah, we don't go on our random tangents
Yeah,
and
it's supposed to do that. Like, I mean, I'm gonna upgrade back once we're regular again, but I want to say it does keep us like on our toes, even though not necessarily, because that was 40 minutes already, kind of, and now we're probably gonna another 40 minutes. Okay, so you were saying.
so back to what I was saying about whether or not I've gone through this before.
Right.
No, with my first pregnancy with my son, it was more or less like, hey, I'm pregnant. And then it was just like, all right, well, we gotta do what we gotta do, and move on from there.
So I want to
With
just be
this,
clear. I want to be clear. So you were like, I mean, I wouldn't say you're on board, but you're kind of just like, all right, this is it, you know?
yeah, I was like, this is it, and I was 17, 18, so I was like, all right, well, I gotta do what I gotta do, and I almost didn't graduate from high school on time because I went and got a job, a full-time job while still in high school. And I had everything prepared for my son for when he was born. Like he had his own room, crib, all that stuff. Like
Wow, you are
he was,
far more mature than I was at 19 and far more responsible. Jesus.
I was super focused. I was like, I just want, because my thing was like, I had, the kind of childhood that I had or whatever. And we're not going to go into it because I'm going to cry.
Oh, God.
But I just wanted to make sure that, my firstborn, at least, because I, again, at the time, I never wanted kids in the first place. Let's just get that out there. But then after, that came about, I was like, all right, well, let me make sure he has everything that he needs, so he'll be set for at least a few years.
You know, so I want to stop you there. So it's funny because, again, same thing with me is, you know, I never really considered why, but I never wanted to have kids either. I would never wanted to be a father, and it's possible it's due to my upbringing, my childhood as well, because of you know, X, Y, and Z, and what I did and did not witness, and what I did and did not see as a healthy marriage or healthy family. So, you know, I've never, it doesn't make any sense now, but I've never actually understood why I didn't want to have kids. But same as you, I never wanted to have kids either. The difference was when it was thrusted upon me, that's what she said, It's funny because I didn't take it as well as you did. You did it. Let's just say we both had inadequate childhoods, right? And that colored our opinion about being father or bringing children in, right? So in your, and I have to give you credit where credit is due. In your instance, you didn't want to have kids. It was thrusted upon you, and you said, you know what? I'm just gonna do what I gotta do. When it was thrusted upon me, I was more like, how can we get rid of this as soon as possible so I can keep myself on the path that I'm on? I didn't reach that level of maturity. I didn't reach that level of acceptance and responsibility for at least, I mean, I wanna say, I began to flirt with the idea. Well, at least, well, I have to first I had to fail out of school. I failed out of school, mostly because of my inability to handle the nonsense. But not until I got my first apartment, and then even then, we're talking about maybe 6 months. I want to say I didn't reach that level of maturity and responsibility and accountability until maybe until I think my son turned one. And I want to say even later than that. By of course, too, I was there, but it was a slow drip. But I did not, I want to be very clear, I did not take it well at all.
Well,
So kudos to you, sir.
the other thing that helped me out too is my youngest sister. I practically raised her, so I grew up having a child. So,
But that was the same thing with me. I wouldn't say I raised my siblings, but I was left home alone with my siblings at a very young age, and I had to watch them and
how
take care
old was your
of
youngest sibling?
them. If I
In
don't know.
comparison to your age.
10, is it 10 years my senior? I think, is it a 10-year difference between me and the last one? She's in 30. Yeah, it's gotta be. It's gotta be anywhere between 7 to 10 years, something like that, between me and my last sibling. But I was left home alone many times. I was responsible. I mean, I wouldn't say I raised them, but that's kind of why I'm allegedly good with kids now, because I did have to put that older brother role. I'm left home alone with all my siblings. I need to make sure they don't burn the house down while managing my own, childhood.
Helping them with homework and doing all that other bullshit.
A little bit of that too, a little bit of that too. So yeah, I mean, because of course my dad had to work, my mom had to work, and especially over the summers where there's no summer school,
Nobody, right?
nobody, it was me. And I was the one responsible. If something went down, it fell upon me. So I
Yeah,
was there too.
my younger sister will she'll blame her personality. She lives in Washington State now. And she'll blame her personality mainly on me and my mother. And she tells everybody she knows over there, she's like, "Oh, if you met my mom and my brother, you'd understand why I came out the way that I did.
Okay,
It's our fault or whatever."
all right. What is the age difference between you and your younger sister?
7, 8 years, something like
Yeah,
that.
okay. Man, you and I handled that a little differently. Wow. No, but I'm being serious. I want to give you kudos. Kudos to you, and kudos to Abba, of course, but kudos to you because I did not, and I'm the first to admit it, I did not handle it well. And I did not handle it well for the first year or two.
I didn't handle it well with the second two. It just there was a lot of back and forth with our relationship there. She punched me, and then I hit her back for not making me a sandwich. And I was just like, who the fuck talk to? It was a lot of back and forth,
I can
right?
laugh because this
And it was just like, yo, like put up or shut up. Like it was a lot of that, you know what I'm saying? And then, poof, the two girls came out, and I was like, oh man, now I gotta make sure that they make sandwiches so they don't get beat up like their mama did.
Exactly. No, in real talk, if you handle the first one, I wouldn't say I handled my second one better. I just handled it. I was indifferent. I remember saying when she, because she got pregnant very, basically, my opinion, after our firstborn came out, as soon as she was able to get pregnant again, she did. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was it. Like, that's how,
There's no waiting period.
No, it's, I mean, I'm telling you, I believe it. I believe in my heart of hearts because of how close they came. I said, as soon as her body was ready for another one, she got the insemination. She got it. So, with the second one, when she comes back and tells me, "Hey, listen, regardless of the reason why it happened again, because oh, the second time was really your fault," but I was lied to. But whatever, that's not the point. The point is that I was indifferent. I just said, all right, whatever. What do you want to do? I mean, I said, look, we already have one. I mean, we're barely surviving with one, and we're not even technically together. So if you want to add two to it, it's going to be way worse. But I mean, look, hey, it is what it is. You know, so I was more indifferent with the second pregnancy. So you're telling me it was more tumultuous with your second one, or?
With my second or third one, well, I don't really like talking about this. Maybe she doesn't like talking about it either, but.
No, I mean, you just give a little bit.
The first time she got pregnant, we miscarried.
Okay.
So that was a very tough time for us. And then.
Because you wanted that one, or.
No, it was just, you know, just the fact of losing.
Yeah, no,
I, life, you know, no, it wasn't like whether or not we wanted it or whatever. Just the fact that
the option was taken
and
from
then
you.
For 4 months, there was a heartbeat. And then all of a sudden that fifth time it was. There
oh,
was
4 months. 4 months is a long time.
Yeah.
Four months is a long time. Yeah.
So it was a very difficult situation. And, you know, and regardless of what everybody thinks, OK, all of my punches because of the non-sandwich making
he's allowed to joke about it. I wanted to make that joke. I want to say, where did you hit her? How many times did you hit her this time? I wanted to say that, but I was like, I don't want to be insensitive. It's not my story to make a joke. And there you go doing it. Son of a bitch. I swear to God, guys, I was going to say that. I was going to say, you hit her too much.
All the violence that ensued did not have anything to do with it, okay? You stop blaming me, okay? It's the court ruled that nothing happened. Okay. There was no ill treatment. Okay. Just the court says it, it's true. Okay.
And it's sealed. And the case is sealed.
Yeah. Case is closed. That's it. I don't want to hear nothing about it. Right. I did my time. Leave me alone. And then, you know, we had our first daughter. And she was born a little prematurely, but you know, that was an emotional roller coaster because of the first pregnancy. It was just like, oh my God, you know.
Whatever. Oh yeah. So yeah, you had trauma.
So it was a lot of trauma there. Plus I don't think she was completely over emotionally from the first one.
What is the time between that one and the first pregnancy and the second pregnancy?
I want to say maybe within the year.
Okay. So, okay. Okay.
So
yeah, that's real fresh.
So within the same year, and it was pretty scary back and forth. And then with our second daughter, it was a little less stressful, with the exception of one actually having a baby and then being pregnant, you know, and having to deal with that.
Yeah.
And then wondering whether or not we should be careful because, you know, of the first pregnancy, like if that mattered this time around. And you know, it was a back and forth, you know, whatever. But you know, then the girls were born and mm-hmm. you know, everything turned
but how
out
did you but you personally, how did you take the pregnancy itself? You already had a kid, so your response to first, second, third, well, I mean, I'm sure it is diminishing returns, but the first one was like, oh my God, another kid, or just okay, cool, you know, you know, let's keep it going.
So I'm not going to say that I was excited.
I'm sorry. It's the look on your face. I'm not going to say that I wanted to go through this shit.
No, I mean, no, well, the reason why, and don't take it the wrong way, world.
No, of course not. Of course.
The reason why I'm saying I wasn't excited, because it wasn't, I'm not, like I said, I admitted I didn't want any kids.
Right, right.
So,
but you already had one. But okay.
Right, but then you know, then the objectivity of an idea of having another one.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. You know, it was kind of like an indifferent feeling, and I guess I got to just go through the motions of being a parent again, and sleepless nights, and terrible twos, and
right.
diaper changing, and going through all that. And then the third one rolled around. I was like, what did I really do with myself? Like, how I cannot be any more indifferent than what I'm feeling now. Like, I kind of feel guilty at this point. Like, I don't want to say I don't give a fuck, but it was like, what do I do, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to set myself up for like some sort of excitement and then something negative happened between her and I where like, you know, an Abbott situation where it's like, oh, I don't want you to be involved. And
right. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I didn't want to get too excited because, you know, my main thing was because of the childhood that I had, I didn't want to be separate away from any one of my children. Even though it eventually turned out like that for my son. And then
Well, that was due to
daughter.
distance. That was due to
Yeah.
distance, not
Not
they
because she
not
kept them away. No,
right, right.
it
Just to
wasn't
make
like
that clear, because we know the stories about, but yeah.
Yeah, no, same thing with my daughters. It wasn't like she was trying to take them away from me or whatever. It was just, life happened. There was just a distance in living conditions, between us or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, no, it to Abba's situation, I'd never really had to deal with anything like that. Parenthood is difficult as it is, especially if, the relationships don't work out at any point, whether it's a marriage or just a boyfriend girlfriend situation. It's difficult because everybody, or it's just not everybody, but each party has their own methodology of being a parent and how they were raised. And ultimately, it's like, I don't want to raise my kids the way that I was raised. And her and well, I shouldn't say her, me and both of my children's mothers had different, completely different upbringings all the way around. It wasn't always easy. But again, my kids are old enough for that to not be a problem anymore.
Anymore, right? No, that's good. That's good. I mean, in my case, I mean, like I said, I fully stand by my statement by saying that as much as Abba may be hurt about, losing the baby, because of hurt of the girl's decisions, he did dodge a bullet, because co-parenting with the wrong
The
person
wrong person makes
is
life.
hell. I want to be very
It's
clear.
not even just raising the kids is difficult. Like you wake
No.
up like freaking out about everything because
Yeah.
the wrong person just decided
Yeah.
to just come in your life, and now, if they're petty enough, they can make your life even
I'm
more
gonna
difficult.
make it very clear. The hardest part about being a young father was not, in fact, being a young father. It was dealing
Dealing with the other parent.
with the other parent for me. That's pretty much the best way to say it, is that you'd think that learning to be a dad and trying to be a dad, as young as I was, and regardless of my maturity or not, or my desire to be a dad or not, what made it infinitely harder, significantly harder, ridiculously harder, was the person I procreated with, which is the simple fact that matters. I can't say about, who she's involved with, who she got involved with after me, and they're on fourth, and how what they would say, but my time with her was absolute nightmare. It was nightmare fuel. And it's a testament. People tell me it's a testament. They said, listen, I only know a fraction of what you went through, and this is just what they saw through osmosis, whether it be the two child support cases, the multiple court cases, whatever it was that she threw at me. They said, "Jay, I have no idea how you hung in there." They said, lesser and stronger men would have just walked away. You didn't have to stay in Florida. You could just go back to New York and just said, to hell with this." Much like what Abba said, and I understand it. When Abba was like, "Listen, I'm not dealing with this shit. I mean, you keep the baby, whatever you want to do. I don't want to be involved anymore. Leave me alone." I can't fault him for that, because to be honest with you, I sometimes in the past, I wish I did that. I wish I just said, "Yo, I don't need to deal with this. I don't even want to be a dad. Why am I letting this woman drag me through the mud
And put so much
and
control
put so much
and effort
control
in
and
your life.
pressure? And let me just go. Let me go. Let me go. And it's funny, because the same mental games that this girl played on Abba, as he purported, was the same mental games that was played on me. Whether it be, yes, we're gonna have an abortion. No, we're not gonna have an abortion. Yes, we're gonna go there, but we're not gonna go there. The back and forth, so, and mind you, I'm speaking from a guy who didn't want to have kids. If you watch Abba's stories, you see the mental anguish, on him wanting to have the kids. Imagine it, the anguish on a younger man who didn't want to have kids. He wanted to have kids. He was going to change his life for it. I didn't want to have kids because I didn't want my life to change. I had a set plan. See, Jason of 18, 19, 20-year-old Jason, he had a plan. He was very arrogant, but he had a plan. He knew what he came to Florida for. He knew what degree he was going to get. He knew he was going back to New York. He knew he was going to go back into the justice system, and he was going to work his way up. He knew he was going to be a lawyer and then get into politics. I'm talking about, I had a plan. Meeting that woman and procreating was not even remotely part of that plan, and it was going to what's the word I want to use? Derail my life so much that I fought hard to save that reality. And there's a bit of self-fulfilling prophecy in there, but it did. In the end, most of what I had seen was going to happen, including it not working out with her, including her getting on another man and bringing a stepfather into the situation, causing more trouble. All these things I saw, I literally did see it in the past, and I said, "This is where this is going to go." I said, "I need not to let to even start that path." And then when we got down that path, I did try, once I got over myself, ladies and gentlemen, I had to get over myself first, try not to let it get as far as it did. You can't. You
I've
can't.
seen, I didn't have those kind of issues, so I kept getting promised sandwiches and just
It,
they happened, they didn't happen,
at
and
least you
listen.
got promised sandwiches, okay? I never
Listen,
got
and
promised shit.
but listen, and then I got some of those sandwiches because she made some pretty good fucking sandwiches. She even threw some hot dogs in there, you know what I'm saying? Like it was just some stuff with some buns too, like
The
some
only
hot
promise
dogs.
that I got was that she would never let our kids call another man daddy, and she broke that thing immediately. So that's the only promise that I got, and that was broken. So let's not even just let me get into promises.
She promised me that she was only gonna call me daddy, and that when I took her to Maury, it was determined to be a lot. So this is the hellscape that I grew up in. Like I was in Maury, I did my time, okay, and like I said, some sandwiches are promised, and
We're promised.
we're promised, yeah.
We're
And I'm
promised.
and to the court of law.
Maury is such a deep cut that he doesn't exist anymore. You just dated yourself by saying Maury. Nobody knows what the hell's a Maury? Like, what is that?
I'm just saying,
You
okay?
gotta find
Like
some kind of like influencer on TikTok and use that.
I'm just
Okay?
saying, okay?
And
So
say the phrase, "It's giving."
no, I mean, listen, my relationship with my son's mother was what it was because we were young. We were 18. We were young and stupid, and we eventually grew out of it. My relationship with my daughter's mother is very violent because I'm still waiting for my sandwiches.
It's giving.
And it's just giving hella
It's
violence.
giving hella violence.
Toxic traits and toxic masculinity on
Oh,
both
you know
parts.
what? They don't even understand the joke because the "it's giving" that I'm referencing didn't happen on this
It's from
podcast. It happened on the other podcast.
that
I just realized they don't get it because
show.
you didn't call me out on it in this podcast. Oh well. Look for it in
I
the other
did.
podcast.
No, it was on this one, just
It
another
wasn't on this
episode.
one. It wasn't
Yes,
on
it
this
was.
one. Are you sure?
Yeah, because we were talking about
No, I swear it was on Geek Bros.
listen, as somebody who makes all the posts,
Oh
okay,
yeah, you
sir,
do. You do. You do.
I revisit
You
a lot
do.
of our stuff. So yeah, it was
Actually,
on this
I think you're
podcast.
right, because I think I was wearing the hat. But I swear I was talking about something geek-tastic on it. Anyway, I
I don't
digress.
remember, but yeah, so the worst part of it is and I understand where Abba was coming from, because you want to have a kid, and you want to be a part of life, and developmental relationship to that effect or whatever, especially with a child, and then it gets taken from you, and then the constant back and forth, of course you're going to easily just walk away from it, because it's like, what, why am I wasting my energy with somebody who doesn't want me around or whatever the case is. Now,
Well,
the
even
Abba side
regardless,
of
that's
that.
playing games. I wouldn't even say that she doesn't want to rot. I mean, that's her phrase, but it's the mental games, the wishy-washiness, it's the mind games, it's the gaslighting. You know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to deal with all of that?
Right. The adverse side of that is she could have very easily said, I don't want you around my life. I'm getting an abortion. And then he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out. And then she has the kid. And then next thing you know, well, then again, he's in Canada. I don't know how their rules are up there. But in America, unfortunately, stuff like that can happen. And then 10 years down the road, you get served paperwork that you owe arrears and child support for a child that
That
you've
you had no
negligent against.
idea. You had
That
no
you
idea.
had no idea that even existed. And you're like, what? I thought she aborted it. No, the courts don't give a damn
No,
about
they
any of that,
don't.
which is the
No,
worst part of
they
it. So
don't.
have
No,
a
they
you
don't.
dodged the bullet, stay your ass in
You did.
Canada
You
because
did.
America's fucked.
You did. You absolutely did. They don't. They don't care about that, which is the funniest thing about it, you know. And then of course the child is like, you know, you weren't there. And you know
Yep, and then
she would have been
the
telling the
10 years that
child.
you weren't around, she's been like, he ain't shit. Your daddy ain't nobody.
He didn't want to be around. He threw me out in
He
the
didn't even
cold.
want you. He didn't want you. But I saved you. Because I'm your
Because
mama and I love
that's how
you.
they are. I think my sons were in the double digits, right? And you know, for lack of a better word, lack of a better phrase, they prefer me. You know, they kind of always have as time went on. They spent more time with me. I provided peace. That's all I can say. She, in my opinion, and even admittedly, chaos, right? So they're in the double digits. I don't think they're teenagers yet, but they're in the double digits. I remember my son telling me like that she used to complain, like, why do you respect your dad so much? Why do you hang on his every word? Okay, you know, he didn't even want you. He wasn't even there for the birth. He wasn't, you know, I'm the one who gave you life, kind of a thing. Like, and I'm just like, why is that you're absolutely right. But we're talking a decade later, and not only did I transcend that initial reaction, I transcended you as a parent. You who wanted the children is secondary to me. I learned, and what's worse is you had your entire support system, and you still are inferior to me. That I, you know, doing it on my own and figuring it out, and that's all you got. All she's got is he didn't want you. He wanted abortion. He wasn't there for birth. That's really all you got. That's it. And that's in the very beginning. And I'm sorry, though I'm apologetic and I do feel shame for that. I do, especially how I grew into the role. And it'll always be a part of my history. It doesn't inform the father I became and the father that I am, kind of a thing. As of right now, I took on a whole other part-time job to supplement my son's income. When he moved to Orlando, so he could enjoy that college experience, long before he even got a job, because I preferred to that I would rather work like a dog than my sons get into the job market sooner than they have to. Why? Because working is their future. So if I can delay that as long as possible, you better believe I will, because working was part of the bane of my existence. Working two, three jobs, and you know this, working two, three jobs, you know, just to make ends meet, especially and on top of that, and then you have kids. I said, I don't want my kids to even suffer any struggle. I want them that if they, I want working right now to be a choice, okay, not a necessity. I want you to be, for example, so I took out a part-time job, so I work one and a half jobs, you know, technically, you know, that's just reality. That's part of my day-to-day, my weekly. So I have one and a half jobs, and that part-time job exclusively pays half his rent, his utilities, his groceries, his gas. That's exclusively what those checks go for. I don't benefit from them much at all. It goes directly to him, so he doesn't have to work. He did find himself a little part-time job, and that helped pay for the other part of his rent, so he wouldn't have to keep taking it from his savings. And the savings came from grants. It's nothing crazy. It's not like he was dying for it, but I get it. He didn't want to bleed his savings out
Grants
for
or Grant Henriquez's?
look at you knowing my name. But so guess what? So I was talking to him the other day, and he said to me, my last day at my job was last week. I want to spend the last 3 months here just chilling and getting ready to move back home. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. He just said, oh, I'm done. I'm good. It served its purpose. I resigned. That's what I'm talking about. The ability to work at your choose and your leisure, and then to leave when you're ready, when it either serves your purpose or, God forbid, if it's not serving any purpose at all and it's causing you stress. I like that. You see what I'm saying? I'm happy that was what he was able to do. That's the kind of parent I am. I prefer, just like you don't want him to have that kind of struggle. Sure, it took me a lot. Not a lot longer, but a lot longer to get there than you did initially, which I still have no idea how at 17 that was your initial reaction. I have no idea. I respect that so much because not only was I 2 years older and an arguing adult, it took me up until what, 2021 to get my act together. So you're talking about like I really have to get in there to figure it out. And you know, I am arguably much more handsome and much more smart than you. See what I'm saying? So much more intelligent. So I don't even know. Oh, no, but seriously. So
I'll let your your feel good or feel yourself moment go through.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, we got 10 minutes before this is over. See, it's still in the end, it still became an 80-minute episode. So let's do final thoughts. You know, we brought it up. We talked about it. And Abba's story is just one of many. His story is not unique. Not at all.
No,
there are men going through it right now. There are men going through it right now. You know what I'm saying? And I think even though he didn't want to share his story, I think it's great because there are men out there that are listening to this and saying it can even happen to Abba. As level-headed as he is, you know, he can screw up. He can get the L and get involved with the wrong woman and avoid the red flags. Because he's human. He's human. He was attracted to her. It probably was with the sex apparently was amazing, you know, so you get caught up in the nana, which listen, yo, it happens. We're men. We're men.
Happens to women, too, by the way.
It does. It does, though, you know,
the responsibilities differ, but the situations are resemble the same.
No, I'm not saying I've never ever said these things don't happen to women. But the fact of the matter is, though, is that much like she did, women are much more easily able to vent their frustrations without ridicule. This the whole believe all women nonsense. There's, you know, you gotta all that stuff.
Yeah, that all came about with that Me Too movement.
That Me Too movement or whatever. But even before that, because if a man gets even accused of rape, okay, even accused, his life is over.
Yep.
Just with the accusation, and he can be like the what's his name? You know who I'm talking about? Kang. He played Kang the Conqueror. What was his name? The black guy.
Oh, Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors. I'm not saying he didn't hit his lady, but what I'm saying though is that they have him on camera, big black man running away from a tiny white girl. They still convicted him. I want to be very, very clear. I'm not saying what she claims he said he didn't do. But what I am saying, though, is no actual crazy, aggressive black man is going to run away from a petite white girl. And furthermore, no petite girl who's afraid of being hurt and battered by a big black man is going to chase that black man down the street in the dead of night. He got convicted. That's what I'm talking about. So when I said this platform is trying to focus more on the men's plight, I mean that. So in no case, just because I'm focusing on the men's plight, am I saying that women are blame? It's all about women, anti-women, incel, blah, blah, blah. No, no.
I'll say it.
You say. But what I'm saying, though, is that's not what I'm saying. However, men usually don't get to vent these things. And when they do, they get a lot of ridicule. You know what I'm saying? Or there's a lot of, you know, well, what about her? Kind of a thing. I'm just like, what about us? What about both of us? Kind of a thing. Final thoughts, Manny.
I agree with the way Abba handled it and ultimately just walked away from the situation because, you know, I'm a really big believer in peace and you need to have peace in your life. And unfortunately, the way the world has changed, in the many aspects that we're dealing with here, especially in America,
every time you say America, you've got this tone.
Well, you gotta remember,
you've got this disdain in your voice. there's a tone there. It's America. I mean, I love this America. you have this disdain in your voice. I swear to God, I love it. It's like how I feel.
I'm on Abba's side with this, so if he wants to like adopt me, so like just cause I can move up to Canada, that'd be great.
Pretty sure you're older than him.
Whatever. Semantics are numbers and stuff.
Good point. Ain't nothing but a number.
Yeah. But you know, just the number one thing that everybody needs to focus on, and I mean everybody, is peace, not greed. And if you don't live your life through peace, you know, you're
through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Not even religious, man. Like I'm just talking about mental peace because religion is a whole nother monster that I'm not even going to dare touch right now.
Uh-oh. Be careful now.
Yeah. I'd rather not get into that. But your mental stability is number one. It should be number one in everything because if you yourself are not happy, it's going to show with everything that you do in life.
Oh, God, yes.
And I mean everything, just
Oh God, yes.
your day-to-day overall feels, your relationship with other people, your work ethic, just everything, and then at some point you're going to vent it the wrong way and it's going to come out the wrong way in front of people, and that's not something anybody wants. So
But in my opinion, and I used to say this a lot about my kid's mom, is that some people, that's all they know, is that they define their world through pain and suffering. That
chaos.
they need that when things, in my opinion, I have many examples where things were at peace, and then I personally feel like she or her mother literally would sabotage that peace by doing some foul nonsense that would provoke me
Do you
or
know
it
why?
would ruin things. Why?
No one has ever put him in a situation to question it and to reflect on it. And what's our number one thing? Be accountable for it. And that's the biggest thing. No one in their lives, in their adulthoods, her and her mom, from what I know, I don't know them, but
No,
whatever.
of course not. I'm just
This
saying
is
based
just
upon my
generally
experience.
speaking. Yeah, this is just generally speaking from anybody who lives their life through chaos, is that no one has put them in a situation where they can see differently and they can actually realize like they are the problem.
Or lack of a consequences, you would say that. I guess that they're not getting any consequences enough for
Right.
them to sometimes people need to like learn, and it has to be like some little consequences. But if they're being shielded from consequences, and I'm guilty of this too, because there's a lot of consequences she could have received from her behavior when she was younger, and whether it was staying at my place or paying her bills or whatever it was, I'm guilty of this too, of shielding her from her own nonsense consequences, because of my misplaced loyalty to her when, because I, she had my kids. But, some people really do define their world for pain and suffering. And I honestly do believe that. So when it comes to accountability, I mean, I don't, you can still be accountable, but if that's all you know, will you change? That's the
Well,
thing.
that's accountability should lead
Should.
to change and
Accountability is just realizing, okay,
mentorship.
accountability is one half of the coin. It's one side of the coin. Accountability
Right.
means that you're recognizing, okay, I did this. But just recognition alone, what is it? What is it? What is it? G.I. Joe? Knowing is half the battle.
Right.
G.I. Joe. Accountability is only half the battle. You have to be accountable for your behavior and then seek to want to change it. I was accountable for the way I reacted as a young father, and I then sought to change it, whether it was losing weight or turning part of my room into a baby-friendly place, taking my time with them, spending more time, being more available, taking them whenever she needed them or whenever they wanted to come back. That was taking accountability that, okay, Jay, you got to change. But then what did I do? And I took some steps, and luckily for me, I have a baby album that shows the steps. I could actually show these steps. Like, this is okay. This is where I was in my headspace. This is where I was in my headspace. This is where I was in my headspace. Because you can see it both in my looks, both and both in the surroundings, and especially my apartment at the time. Like, it was interesting. I went from just like, oh Christ, to I gotta take 2/3 of my room and baby proof that crap and let them run around. So it was interesting. Interesting.
You
But all
grew and
right.
I had to grow too. I had to stop hitting these bitches because
That's right. You
they
gotta stop
couldn't
stomping.
reach
Yeah,
me.
you gotta stop just choking a bitch.
Yeah,
I get
I'm
you.
just, I listen, I'm a firm believer, man. Just
Does
make the damn
Manny have to
sandwich.
choke a bitch?
Just make the damn sandwich. That's it. It's not a
That's
lot. It's
it.
not hard. I don't need no gourmet sandwich. Whatever. Come
That's
on.
right. That's right.
Yeah.
Bologna. Bologna and mayo. That's it. That's all he
Yeah.
needs. Not
Hey,
even a slice of cheese. Just bologna
my
and mayo.
bologna has a first name, man. You know what I'm saying?
And with that said, that's it for this special whatever of Last of the Nice Guys podcast. We do have some news about Joe, and we will get into that eventually in the future. So the 100 episode actually is more likely to happen after June than we actually thought, and we will get into it in the future. So with less than a minute left, my name is Jason, and that is Manny, and thank you for your time.
The Last of the Nice Guys. Follow, like, and subscribe on Twitter and Instagram at Last Nice Guys, Facebook.com/Last Nice Guys, or email lastoftheniceguys@yahoo.com.
This is an audio production of Vibe Revelation Studios, the cure for your common day. VibeRevStudios.com.